I never thought I would be so much like my mother than I really am. Yeah. It's so scary because I literally talked about this with my friend and we were discussing how we're saying the exact same things we hated in our mothers and we saw ourselves doing. We even warned each other to warn each other when it starts happening, and it's happened. I just literally thought I would never be like my mother, but I think she's created a little copycat. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, even my mom was a trendsetter. She got married when she was 31 and had me, an only child at 32, which is like a huge thing for back in the days. You know, the one thing I could say is that I think my parents have changed too. So it's kind of been closing the gap for us. It used to be like, you know, like I said before, oh, only person from this village, from this town, blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, okay, just Muslim, you know, color, whatever, just Muslim. And they've met all kinds of people in their life, different colors, different races. Like, they've just learned to love other people. They never understood why I like to travel, why I, you know, do all the things that I do. They never will, but they've accepted it. And it's only because they didn't have the opportunities that we have. The generational gap existed more when I was a teenager. And now, as an adult, we have definitely closed that gap almost. Hopefully not completely, because I don't want to say I'm 100% like my parents, but it's getting there.
Every single person is living two different lives when they're growing up. They always go to school with their friends of all different ethnicities and everybody, and John from the baseball team and Eric from the debate team and all of that. And they're balancing that with their home life, which is always relatively a little bit more conservative than what the American life is, regardless, you know, unless your parents are European, you may not have the problem. But for instance, for me, I was very uncomfortable with my parents knowing really anything about me for forever. It was taboo to even speak about, like, dating a girl. So all that stuff was hidden. Yes, mom, I'm going to so-and-so's house to play video games. Not drink alcohol. in terms of a generational gap, that is there. Getting a little bit deeper, though, as you get a little bit more into adulthood, you start having those conversations with your parents. And, you know, they can be very stubborn. Over the course of time, they'll be more open-minded toward your way of thinking because they understand it's a new life. It's not quiet. And there'll be a mesh as opposed to you won't be fully that way. I think parents will be happy if they can just keep you from going full American.
I agree with the full American aspect. I think growing up, there was a double life. So you were at home or you were with your friends and how you acted. I think now as I'm getting older, though, I find myself a lot of the time doing the stuff that my parents do. And it irritates me a little bit, but at the same time, I welcome it, especially dealing with my nieces. When I start talking to them, or I'm, you know, speaking Creole to them, or I'm like, oh, you gonna eat this rice? And I remember when I was younger, I was not about that rice. I did not like rice. Now, every day I'm just like, okay, I think I need to eat rice, you know, or I need to set a time when I can fit into my rice schedule. So I think when it comes to the only generational gap I see with my parents right now at the age I am now is the dating aspect, because, you know, my mom will always say, at your age, already I had a one-year-old. And I'm thinking, lady, times have changed. And I think that is the only thing. But I think that's just not even generational gaps for first gen. I think that's all of us in our generation, that our parents, really, dating has changed. And it's changed because of social media and dating apps and the way we communicate. I think far as the culture, me keeping my cultural ties, they're still the same. I still want to, you know, tie a lapa and tie my head. And I still want to, you know, eat fufu with my hands. So I think that's everything is ingrained in me. So I don't feel like that's a gap per se.
Welcome to First Gens. This is a podcast about first-generation Americans and filling in the blanks beside the hyphen. It's your two favorite Liberian-Americans.
Woo!
I'm Perrine.
And I'm Skye.
Yes, she is. And
we're going to talk a little bit about generational differences. So as we've talked about before, we're both first-generation Americans, but obviously that means that our parents are not. That means that they are immigrants to this country, and that also can mean that maybe some of our siblings or other people really close to us are also not first-gens, and just kind of how that affected our upbringing. So, like, Sky, like, did you feel that, like, obviously, you know, your immigrant mother and how... and father, like how that impacted your outlook, your perception of being American?
Oh, definitely. I felt that there were a lot of times when I would be talking about something with my parents and I just realized in the moment that there was this cultural chasm between us that just I was, you know, things that are just so commonplace in America, like a parent-teacher conference, like something as simple as that was just... like my parents would look at me like, well, why would I need to go and talk to your teacher? You're doing fine in class. So what are you in trouble?
What
like,
what
are you
for?
In trouble? Like, no, like well, that's just what we do. Like people do here in America, apparently. But there was always a cultural chasm or like a generational chasm down to like how we were, like my mom expected me to dress. You know, she's older, obviously. She's my mother. And so she would, you know, have this idea of more of the like Leave It to Beaver June Cleaver kind of woman.
Wait, what? What does that mean?
Leave It to Beaver.
I mean,
the TV show.
Yeah, but can you describe for our listeners who maybe not be familiar? Also,
I really low-key think that you're thinking. Yeah, I was gonna say you're really talking about yourself.
We didn't
don't
watch
bring
that
the
in
listeners
my household.
Into this. I mean, so something that I noticed about my parents, my mother in particular, was the time that they grew up and the fact of growing up in Liberia. So my mom, I think coming to this country, had a very different view of America than it really is. She grew up watching like Westerns and listening to country music. And so that was her her thought process of America coming here and like Leave It to Beaver, like the stay at home mom who like cooks all the meals and like is always perfectly dressed and hair is perfectly coiffed and pearls and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And that's not me. It's never been. Never felt that, never heard of that, never
pearls.
Been that. What is a pearl? I don't get it. I do like an oyster, though. Those are delicious. Anyway, but no, that was, you know, just the generational thing is how she grew up. Like that very, like, I guess was that the 50s, I guess? Ideal of a woman, ideal of America. And it's just, it wasn't what I was experiencing. And so... growing up, she would kind of think that things were one way, like, oh, well, when are you going to the sock hop? I was like, Mom, they don't do that anymore.
Oh, no, not
girl,
the sock hop.
Like,
oh,
yeah. No, legitimately, though, the sock hop.
The sock hop.
Yeah, that's because she grew up watching Happy Days.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, you can't blame her, you know? We talked about how our mothers and our parents were just very influenced by the media and television, and that's a perfect example. And, like, the interesting thing is that, you know, obviously, like, my mother had a very similar kind of perception, but it was just always, like, she always would say, that's not what people do. And it's like, Mama, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, I would say something or I would, like, suggest something and be like, oh, no, Perrin, that's not what people do. I'm like, Mama, like, what people? Who are these people
like,
and
Mama,
why don't they do this?
I'm a people, Mama. But, I'm a people.
You know? And, like, and she would say that because, like, culturally to her and, like, her, like, morals or standards were not aligned with that. So, ultimately, she would just be like, instead of saying, like, that's wrong or that's right, that's not what people do. Mm-hmm. And, like, so that kind of got engraved in my brain, like, very early on. And I really, like, when I look back and I think about, like, a lot of the different, like, boundaries and different things that my mother, like, really instilled, like, in me, I really had to align them with fear. It was fear. Like, you know the scene in Mean Girls. You know what I'm talking about. If you have sex, you'll get pregnant and die. Like, my mother used that kind of tactic. Like, you will die. Like, or, you know, I'm not going to let you do that. Like, nothing good happens after 10 p.m. Like, all of that. Like, that mentality. And so that was kind of engraved, like, in my head, you know, so much growing up. And so, like, when I got to college and, like, when I was just, even when I was in high school, like, my senior year in high school, so I won prom queen. This is not, like, a boastful thing. So I won prom queen, right? And so, like, my boyfriend and I are at prom, like, high school boyfriend. We're, you know, like, at prom, you know, I win, like, prom queen or whatever.
Everyone's clapping. It's beautiful. Applause, applause.
Stop, flowers. None of that. So after prom, like, my mother had gone out of town, right? And she told me to go and stay with my older sister, like, go to my older sister's house. And, like, both of my other siblings weren't even in town. It was, like, I had, like, honestly, if I was, I'm not going to say a smart American kid, if I was a ratchet, like, real American kid, I would have been like, yo, after party at Perrine's,
party.
Or, like, or at least done something. But, like, in my head, I kid you not, I was so paranoid. I don't know if I felt like my mom bugged the house or bugged my car or, like, bugged something, but in my head, I was like, I have to go home. I have to go to Jane's. Like, my sister, I have to go home. Like, I didn't even, like, really celebrate my senior prom and winning prom queen because my mother, who wasn't even in North Carolina that night, has struck me so much with fear. And so, like, I just want people to know that it's, you know, I think when I was in college, you know, I was very much so labeled as, like, the good girl or whatever. And really, I just wasn't, I wasn't true to this. Like, I didn't know about that
you
life.
You were new to this.
I was so new to everything. Mm-hmm. I was not about that life. Like, all these TV shows with all these high school kids drinking at parties. I'm like, what parties? Like,
right.
Well, I did go to one. But, like, really? Like, they're going to parties, like, every night. Like, oh, live it up. And I'm like, how do they have these opportunities?
Right. I never understood that, like, watching, like, movies and things or, like, even Degrassi. I love Degrassi growing up.
Right.
Y'all. And, like, just, like, extreme. All these things are like, oh, let's go into the woods and have a party. And, like, who's going to bring the beer and, like, the ecstasy? And I was like, what?
What is ecstasy? What? No, I'm saying that's me,
like,
as a middle schooler.
Girl, like, let me explain to you.
No, we don't.
I mean, I don't know personally what that is. Never heard of that. Never felt that. Scientifically speaking, I can tell you.
Yeah.
But no, like, I would see these things and just be like, how does one get invited to such an event? One, and then two, how are you not afraid that you're going to die? Like,
right.
if you take ecstasy, you'll die.
You'll die.
Because your brain will fry because you don't get enough water. Like, my mama told me all about the dangers of ecstasy. And so, like, I think, actually, I went to maybe one or two parties in high school as well.
Yeah.
Where there was drinking and people were like, oh, do you want some? No, I'm good.
Right.
Like, because, like,
how?
It's not even that, like, alcohol was shunned or, like, frowned upon in my family. Because, like, I would be home and my mom would be drinking, like, a wine cooler. And I'd be like, oh, girl, let me try some of that. And, like, put it back down, and she'd be fine with that. But, like, I knew it was okay because I was doing it right in front of her. But if I would have, like, grabbed that Bud Light from my friend,
right.
I just somehow thought that Selena was going to swoop in from the sky and collect my soul.
Me too.
Girl.
The superpower, like, the mother superpower is, like, on a whole nother level, y'all. Like, it was just, that's American.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's how I knew, like, I wasn't really, like, super, like, mm-hmm. I'm American, obviously, like, I was born here, but y'all, it's, like, a completely different, like, perception, it's a completely different upbringing in so many different ways, and it's just so, like, when I just look back, I'm just like, wow, and even, like, I mean, as an adult, I still learn about different things that I just never was really exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that speaks not only from a cultural, you know, gap, but also a generational gap as well. And I have three older siblings that are, you know, far older than the three youngest siblings. So we're literally like the Brady Bunch. Three boys, three girls. I'm Cindy. The three oldest siblings were born in Liberia. The three youngest siblings born in America. And so when I'm even taught, like, my older siblings, they are, you know, slightly assimilated, you know, pretty assimilated, but, you know, they always kind of were, like, additional parents, in a sense, for me, especially, like, my older sister, Jane, because, you know, she also raised me. You know, we grew up in the same cities. My two older brothers always lived in other cities and other states. So even though we're a lot closer than we used to be, it's we just didn't grow up together. So like this, it's like the exact same thing almost, I think, with my sister, my oldest sister. It was, she had very similar like outlook as my mother. And so she was like that other person, like, you know, you'll have sex and die. And then, you know, she was just as frightening, you know, for me. But it's really interesting to see how she's raising her children. My oldest nephew is, you know, like a little brother to me. He's in his 20s. So we kind of were raised like the same strict way. But now that I look at my niece and nephew, who are only 10 and 11, they, not to say that it's not strict, it's almost like, it's just different, you know? They are a lot more assimilated. I remind them every day that they're African. Like, I won't let them ever forget that, you know? And it's just so interesting that she's kind of like eased up a little bit. It's like almost the more assimilated she becomes, like the less stricter, overbearing or whatever she becomes too. And so I don't know if that's in line with American culture, not to say that American culture is less strict. Well, actually, American culture is very less strict than Liberian culture.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
In a lot of ways. But mm-hmm. that's because she is also an immigrant. Mm-hmm. She's not, but she's an immigrant who has been here for a very long time, since she was 8. Yeah. So she has gone through assimilation for the most part. But home is Liberia to her.
Yeah. That's just so interesting to me, because I just think about my mom and just throughout the years. I think part of it has to, the changes I've seen with her, I think part of it has to do with the fact that now we are all older, we're all adults. And so she does recognize that as of us as adults. But, you know, growing up, she was definitely like very, very strict. Like we couldn't, to the point where we could not say the word butt in front of her, like B-U-T-T.
We couldn't either.
Yes.
Or fart.
Because it was a cuss word in our house.
Yeah.
So like we had to say like B-U-T-T.
Yes, we spelled it too.
Yes. And if we said butt, then like we got in trouble. And like I would be like, Mama, Stacey said butt. And then I would get in trouble because I just said butt to my mom to tell her that Stacey said butt. Oh my God. So like, I'd be like, Mama Lou said B-U-T-T, or and then she'd be like, he said what? And then like go beat him. But like,
yes.
And so now, like, I was talking to my mom the other day about something, and I was like, Mama, I was pissed. And like, she was just fine with that.
She didn't, girl.
I was surprised, because like a few years ago, I said that in front of her and she did not hit me, which surprised me, but she turned to me and stared into my soul and she went, you think you making now? And I was just like,
Oh my god! Did you like feel so terrified? Like,
I did, because as soon as it went, I was like, How did I get here?
Catch it! How did I get
yes,
here?
Like all of a sudden, like all of my life mistakes just started flying through my head of how I got to this moment where I just majorly messed up.
Oh
but like, I think that as my mother has assimilated more and more into American culture, like.
Yeah.
I'm still not going to ever cuss in front of my mother because
right.
I know better. But like things that she would have beat the devil out of me for even 3 years ago have completely changed. And it's just, I think more and more as she just gets more comfortable with American culture or whatever, as she watches more Real Housewives of Atlanta and realizes
yes,
that I could
yes.
be.
Yes.
10 times worse and 10
exactly.
times more, quote unquote, American.
So she don't real like.
Because it's not American, it's American.
American.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like now they see how well they did raise us and they see that we have morals and values and things. And
not to
I
say
think,
Americans don't.
Not to say they don't. But I think that they, in comparison to others or whatever, they can see like the impact. You know, but that didn't come like easy for us. Like for so long, I had resentment and I was upset and I was like, how come they get to do that? Or how have I not experienced this or whatever? But then, like, you know, just when I got to college and I hadn't experienced so much, I was thankful. I was like, I'm happy that I haven't like, you know, been exposed to that or had that hard perspective on life or, you know, whatever. and gone through certain things, you know, in a sense, I'm not to say that I would raise my child exactly the same way, but I know exactly why my mother did the certain things that she did and why she raised us, how she raised us, you know?
Yeah.
Had to bridge that gap.
And I think also something thinking about my parents that has always struck me was growing up, my mom was the strict one. Well, okay. Both of my parents were strict in the sense that they had a very clear set of ideas and ideals for us and kind of raised us according to that. But I think my dad, in particular with me, was able to kind of bend more than my mom mm-hmm. because, so my parents were 10 years apart. My dad's 10 years older than my mother. And so, but at the same time, he traveled around the world when he was younger. He lived and worked in a number of different European countries, America, Liberia, and I think a couple other places in Africa, West Africa as well. And so I think he just had a more, kind of a more global perspective mm-hmm. on things. Mm-hmm. So he was less, my mother was very quick to say something was American or like Americanized.
Right.
Whereas my dad would like kind of take the time and kind of process what was going on. Mm-hmm. So I also saw that there was a very clear generational gap between my parents about those 10 years. But yeah. at the same time, because of like my dad's background and like kind of being everywhere all the time, mm-hmm. he still had a very different perspective than my mom on like how we should raise or how they should raise a daughter, because my mom had that, like I said, leave it to Beaver. Whereas my dad was like, well, you know, let her do what she wants to do. If she wants to wear pants, let her wear pants. That was really a conversation in my house. Like my mother, I didn't see my mother wear a pant. I didn't see my mother wear pants until high school.
Wow.
And I don't think I saw my mother wear jeans until college.
Wow.
And even then, like, I think she owns one pair of jeans. Yeah. She had two pairs. She gave me one because they were cute. And she's kept one. And that's it. She just does not believe in women wearing pants.
Yeah.
And that's just her generation. That's just her culture.
Yep. That's just her culture. That's just her perception, her, like, what she picked up from her generational, like, learnings and everything she soaked in from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just so interesting to see how, you know, we have little pieces of that that carry on to us. But at the same time, like, you can't deny that we're millennials. Like, we're millennials full and full.
Yeah. I mean, you more so than me, Miss Selfie Queen.
Okay, hipster. Y'all, hipster is a millennial, like, a millennial thing.
I'm not a hipster.
Sky, and that's exactly what a hipster says.
Okay, but
she does not believe in an iPhone or Apple products.
I don't believe in an iPhone. Like, they exist. I believe that they exist, ma'am. I just don't believe
she has her African
hype.
Soap, and she has, like, all of her things.
Well,
and
because
she's
black
into
soap
all
is just superior.
K-beauty, and she's into all of these. She's...
I'm cosmopolitan.
She's a hipster.
I'm cosmopolitan.
So we learn from our parents. Our parents are obviously products of their environment. They are products of their society and their culture at that time. Their generation. We are too.
Talking about my generation. Talking about my generation. Wait, is that copyright infringement?
This is Bridget's story.
I identify as a Colombian American. Both of my parents are from Barranquilla, Colombia. But I was born in Florida, but I strongly identify as Colombian American. As a lot of people may know, growing up in Florida specifically is, there's so many cultures and different types of people that you don't really feel out of place. When I was in high school or even middle school, there were a lot of people that were first generation American or not. But even the first generation American kids, whenever you would say, hey, where are your parents from, or where are you from, or what's your nationality, they would say, oh, I'm Dominican, or oh, I'm Cuban. It was never Cuban American or Dominican American. It was kind of unsaid that either you were from that place or you just identified that way. So I always said, oh, I'm Colombian. My parents are Colombian. But when I moved to North Carolina, that was really awkward when people would go, oh, you're Colombian? How long have you been here? Or how long have you, like, your English is really great. Like, how do you speak such perfect English? And it's like, oh, well, I was born here, so I'm American, but I identify as Colombian. Even if you were, like, a fourth Puerto Rican, you would be like, I'm Puerto Rican, because it's just not normal. Like, everybody is kind of mixed in some way. It's actually kind of unusual if you're not. Like, if you're not from somewhere, no one would say I'm just American. They would probably identify with wherever they're from or where their parents are from, or even their family, like grandparents. Growing up, my kindergarten class was like the United Nations. Everybody there was from somewhere. And when I moved to North Carolina in high school, it was like a complete crazy turn. Like, there was very little diversity in our class. I, along with some, maybe a handful of others, were children of immigrants or from somewhere else, and it wasn't very diverse at all. So I think educating people about my family and where they were from kind of happened naturally, because they didn't have any idea or understand the differences in my culture. And, you know, I obviously don't blend in, so they had questions. I am a dark-skinned Colombian person. And so a lot of people, when they think of Colombia as a country, they think of Miss Universe, and they think of the lighter-skinned Colombian women, or Shakira, or Sofia Vergara, and they're all beautiful women, don't get me wrong, but it comes as a shock to some people when I tell them I'm Colombian, that there are darker-skinned Colombians. And to go a little bit further, I even mentioned sometimes, like, yeah, there are even Afro, like, Colombian people, and they don't believe me. They're like, are you serious? Really? I go, yeah, Colombia is a very diverse country. You just need to meet more than one, because we're all different. My parents are from Barranquilla, Colombia. Well, to be more specific, my father's from Barranquilla, Colombia. My mother is from a town, or she was born in a town called Juan de Acosta, which is actually my last name, Acosta. So my dad grew up in the city. My mom was born in a small town. She came over with my grandmother when she was two. So she is technically like an immigrant, but sort of a hybrid of a first generation, because she grew up in the 60s, 70s, 80s in America before a lot of Latino immigrants came to South Florida. My grandmother didn't speak any English, and she only spoke Spanish, and somehow managed to like find a job and work in this country. And this was before a lot of Latinos had come over. So my mom grew up in South Florida, being the ambiguously brown person that she is, and she wasn't considered black or considered white. Nobody knew what to do with her. Nobody knew what box she would fit in. So she had a very, very interesting experience. And not all of it was very positive, but at least she has a lot of compassion and like understanding and empathy for people who also come over and experience some of the things that she's experienced. And she really does try to help, because she knows how difficult it can be to be in this country and not know the language, or be in this country and be judged just because of what you look like and make assumptions of you. My father, on the other hand, he came over to Miami when he was 24. So he grew up all his life in Colombia, early 20s in Colombia, came over when he was 24. He came over as a professional boxer. Somehow he met my uncle, and that's how he met my mother. But when he came over to this country, he obviously didn't know English very well, and he had to learn the language, and he still has a very, very thick accent, but it doesn't stop him. Like, he'll tell you what he thinks. When my parents were growing up, with my grandparents, I should say, they had the very strict household upbringing. No dating until you're a certain age. You go to church, you clean the house every weekend, you know, don't stay out late. And my mom and my grandmother, my mom tells me all the stories. Like, my mom's mom and my dad's dad did the same thing, which I think translates to my early childhood. They would wake up on the weekends and make all this noise. They would like throw pans and like move garbage bags and just make all this noise, because it was time to wake up and it was time for you to clean the house. And instead of directly waking you up, which sometimes they would do, they would passively aggressively like make all this noise so that you would wake up and you would start your day because they already had started your day. And my dad used to do that to me when I was a kid, not to the level where he would make all the noise on purpose, but he would literally come into my room like, why are you sleeping? It is noon. And I would look at the clock. I'm like, Dad, it's 7 a.m. It is not noon. Like, I need to sleep. And he's like, no, you have to wake up and you have to help us clean the house. And my mom, you know, I guess being more Americanized, was very similar. She's like, I'll let her sleep for at least an hour. But an hour wasn't really the case because I still had to wake up an hour later and help clean. I had a strict household, but it wasn't as strict as my grandma. Like, I could still go out with friends and things like that. My mom had a very, very strict upbringing, and I had a less strict upbringing. Still strict, but not as strict. I think being fluent in your native language really does connect you a little bit more to your culture than others who don't speak their native language. I've had friends growing up who didn't speak a lick of Spanish, and now they're trying to learn. Like, now they want to be more ingrained in their culture and wanting to learn Spanish and wanting to understand what their family members are saying in other places that they're living in. And for me, even though I don't have the best Spanish and my grammar is kind of all over the place, or as I call it sometimes, baby Spanish, because I forget words and I just like try to use any primary words that I remember, I can still connect on a different level because I understand what my grandmother's saying. I understand what my uncles are trying to say and may not be able to articulate what I'm thinking, but at least I do feel more of a connection to them because I can understand the real meaning behind what they're saying and not a translated version in my head. Even my older cousins and I, we speak in Spanglish, and that feels more like connected than some of my younger cousins who don't really speak in Spanglish. Going back to Colombia as a kid, it was interesting because I was clearly American. I had a very strong American accent when I spoke Spanish. And as I got older, like when I remember distinctly one of my trips when I was probably 11 or 12, I went by myself with a cousin of mine who was around the same age. And my uncle told me one day, he said, try not to speak too much because they can tell that you're American. And I guess they were afraid that like somebody would try to like take me, or they would treat me differently, or assume that I had money because I was American, and that's a huge stereotype over there. And it was kind of like a safety thing, so they wanted to make sure that nobody really knew I was American. And so it was really interesting to go about as a kid that way, like not talking or like trying to communicate on very like limited terms because everybody was just trying to make sure you were okay and that you weren't going to wander off with somebody you didn't know. And then as I got older, I went to Colombia when I was in my 20s, and just that drastic change, everybody wanted to speak English to me because all my cousins were older, they're university, and they'd rather speak to me in English to better their English than me having to speak in Spanish, which was great. But at the same time, my mom would like get mad. She's like, you need to practice your Spanish. It's interesting how that's kind of changed, where before it was more like, don't talk English because, you know, that you might be concerning. But then going back recently, more recently, it was like everybody wants to talk to you in English. It surprises my family that I travel as much as I do, that I've done things on my own, that I am a like independent woman. And I don't know if it's because family likes to stick together and they don't like change, or if it's just like it's unheard of that you go and leave your parents and you move to a different city without your family. And I think it would be easier for a guy cousin, like one of my male cousins, to do that than me, you know. It would be more accepted, I guess, if so-and-so went off and he got a job and he did all these things. But it's kind of like it was surprising and a little bit uncomfortable when I did it. Like, why are you leaving your family? Like, you shouldn't be leaving your family. You should be closer to your mom or you're closer to your grandma. So I think there's a difference in there. What makes me most proud to be Colombian American is the fact that I can claim Shakira and Sofia Vergara and all these awesome Colombian people that are coming up and repping us right. We're cool. We're awesome. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of talented people in Colombia, and I really feel proud to have that as my heritage.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed what you heard, subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It helps other people find us. We can also be found on SoundCloud and wherever else you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave a review or comment on social media. We'd love to interact with you. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at First Gens. That's the number one, STGENS. Plus, get extra content on our website, firstgenspodcast.com. First Gens was created by Perrin DeShield. The show is co-hosted by Perrin and Sky Wilson. Trey Pierce, aka Self, is our audio engineer. Nick Stubblefield is our official composer and created the lovely music you heard throughout this episode. Thanks to our roundtable guests, Betty, Elvira, and Sean, and a special thank you to Bridget for sharing her story. First Gens is a proud member of Puga, an amazing co-working space based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for all of your support.